May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus has to give his disciples some disturbing news. News that they don't quite understand or maybe don't want to understand. Jesus tells them that soon he will undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed. Soon, he will leave them. And those who want to continue in his way must prepare themselves for a similar fate, undergoing great suffering, being rejected by family, friends, and their own religious leaders, and taking up their own crosses for their own deaths. And then, 8 days later, we hear the story from the Gospel of Luke that we just heard today. Jesus selects a couple of his closest disciples, James, John, and Peter, and goes up a mountain to pray. And while they're praying, Jesus' appearance changes. His face looks different. His clothing, common, becomes suddenly dazzlingly white. There is a light about him. He shines from within. 2 great forefathers of the faith, Elijah and Moses, appear with him. And a cloud surrounds them as with booming voice, God the Father lets them know just who this Jesus is. The Son of God, his chosen one, someone to be listened to. The disciples have been following Jesus for some time now. They probably know a lot about him. They know his sleeping habits and his favorite foods. They might be familiar with the way he prays or just how he takes the hand of someone who's sick or raises his own hand in blessing. They might know what will make him laugh and what is likely to anger him. They are his followers and his friends. They know each other. They know Jesus. Yet today, God reveals something that it's going to take them a while to fully grasp. This very human Jesus that they know oh so well is not only human. He is divine, the Son of God, God incarnate. It's not that this sudden transfiguration of Jesus up on the mountaintop makes him something that he isn't already. It's not that this sudden transfiguration makes him into something different or someone new. This transfiguration of Jesus simply reveals who he really is already in the inmost of his being, not only human, but also fully God. And perhaps this story comes on the tail of that disturbing news Jesus has to give them just over a week later. For a reason. Perhaps this moment of glory, this literal mountaintop experience, is meant to bolster them in the days and weeks, the months and years that are to come. Perhaps it's to help the disciples know that they too will be called not to change into something new, not to change into someone different, but to reveal who they really are already. Who they are as followers of Jesus, as God's beloved children, who God has created them and called them to be. Because it certainly won't always be easy, but living as who they really are will give glory to God. By their lives, their ministries, and sometimes even their deaths, the disciples will testify to the glory of God. Just how this transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop today testifies to the glory of God. Have you ever had to hide who you really are? Have you ever felt like maybe no one really knows you? Like you just can't be yourself? Or like there's a part inside of you that no one could ever know about, or it would be the end. The end of a friendship, or your family, or your job. What part of yourself do you resist revealing? Have you ever experienced a transfiguration of your own? I don't mean have you ever heard God's booming voice and stood with Moses and Elijah on the top of a mountain, though if you have done that, I would like to hear about it after church this morning. What I mean is, have you ever experienced a moment of revelation like this? Not when who you are changes, but when who you are really comes into full view, shining for all to see. When you could maybe reveal a part of yourself that you couldn't before. When you could let down the guards and display your inmost self. For some people, that moment comes when they meet the right partner for life. Someone who gets them and who they get in return. Someone who loves them completely. For others, this moment might be when your parent discovers that really terrible thing you did and they still love you unconditionally. Or perhaps when you grow up and your parents finally meet you eye to eye as an adult. It could be when you find that place where you just fit in your family or your group of friends. Or when after years of searching, you finally stumble into a job that's not just a job, but a career, a calling, a vocation that really puts your unique skills to use. It might be when you became a parent or a grandparent for the first time, or when you discovered that one precious, lifelong friend whom you can really reveal your own innermost workings to. When have you had that experience of transfiguring into not into something totally new, not into someone totally different, but a transfiguration that reveals who you really are already? When are you able to reveal who you really are to testify to the glory of God? Revealing our true selves, being honest about who we are with our faults and frustrations and joys and quirks, it reveals God's glory because it is God who creates us to uniquely be who we are, and it's God who grants us grace to live as ourselves. When we can be ourselves, we show that Christians actually come in all shapes and sizes, that we have flaws and doubts and passionate beliefs. We show by our mistakes that God is forgiveness, and by our loving that God is love. Are you able to reveal who you really are to testify to the glory of God? Some of you already know that this week the United Methodist Church, full communion partners of our own denomination, voted to affirm the Methodist Church's prohibitions on ordaining LGBTQ clergy and officiating at same-sex marriages. The voting delegates turned away from a plan that was recommended by their Council of Bishops that allowed for a diversity in local practice, that allowed for local congregations to each decide for themselves if they were called to welcome LGBTQ clergy or to marry LGBTQ couples in their church. This vote was a heartbreaking shock to many, many LGBTQ clergy and allies already serving in the United Methodist Church. Now, our own denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, has ordained openly gay, lesbian, and transgender clergy and celebrated same-gender marriages for almost 10 years now. It'll be 10 years this summer, with some congregations beginning those practices even decades before. Together, we've strived for greater welcome of all people in churches across our country, even though our strivings are not perfect. And even though we might not always be of one mind and heart. When I think of the vote that the Methodist Church took this week, I think of the residents of Trinity Place Shelter, that 10-bed homeless shelter for LGBTQ young people that we here at St. Stephen's have supported at Christmas time for a few years now. Most, if not all, of the young residents who have passed through that shelter have experienced firsthand what the church's rejection of LGBTQ people can do. 1.6 million youth experience homelessness every year, and 40% of those youth identify as being lesbian, gay, transgender. The top two reasons these youth identify for being homeless are either one, running away from home due to being kicked out of their family, or one, running away from their home due to conflict in the family, or two, actually being kicked out by their parents. The youth at Trinity Place Shelter have told many such stories, and for many of them, they've been rejected by their families, their parents, and their communities for solely religious reasons. They have been told to change who they are, to hide who they are, to not really speak about who they are. And that has real consequences. Not only are LGBTQ young people far more likely to be homeless than their counterparts, they're more likely to experience sexual assault, domestic violence, drug and alcohol abuse, depression, self-harm, and suicide. Yet today, in the story of the Transfiguration, we see that revealing who we really are, just as Jesus was revealed to be who he really is as the Son of God, that testifies to God's glory. When LGBTQ pastors and young people and church members can reveal who they really are, they testify to the glory of God. They show people that Christians have been created in all shapes and sizes. They testify to the great depth of God's being, as even though we are different, we are all still created in the image of that one God. They are able to share their strengths and unique gifts with the world and with the church. They remind us of the church's call to be a prophetic voice, speaking up for what is right and just, but maybe not always popular. And they remind us of the church's call to always advocate for those who are oppressed or in need, to love and to serve all of our neighbors. In the story of the Transfiguration, Jesus reveals who he is already to testify to the glory of God. Are you able to reveal who you really are to testify to the glory of God? Because whoever you really are in the inmost parts of your being, even those parts that you don't dare to show someone else, God already knows you and already loves you. God created you that way. To be who you are is to praise that creator. What might it be like if all people could reveal who they really are? What kind of church might we have here at St. Stephen's and around the world? What kind of world might we be able to create together? Today we give God glory by being our inmost selves here in the walls of St. Stephen's. And hopefully, when you leave this place too, we confess our sin to be forgiven. We come to the table to receive the body and blood of our Creator, that we might be restored again, newly the people God has created us to be. Let's give thanks today for the diversity of people created in God's image and for the love that loves even those parts of ourselves that we might struggle to show. Thanks be to God. Amen.